Judge Jeanine Pirro.
She's the outspoken host. Judge Jeanine Pirro is dominating the headlines right now.
This is the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show on 77 WABC. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome, everyone, to the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show, and happy Sunday to everyone on this Sunday, April 18th of 2020. It seems like the year is just flying by. I mean, yesterday it was January, and today it's past the middle of April. Anyway, we're back in New York happily this week, and as always, we're armed and ready to serve justice with all my great listeners here on Talk Radio 77 WABC and all listening to our stream on WABCradio.com and on the 77 WABC mobile app. We also today do want to send our deepest condolences and prayers to the families of those who lost their lives from gun violence this week, and we're going to get into that more in just a moment here. I also want to make sure that I hear from you in just a little bit. We're going to take your calls right here on the Friends of the Court hotline. You know the number. It's 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Make sure you give us a call and share your thoughts. I'm sure there's a lot that you're interested in talking about because the world, it seems, is going a little crazier by the day. We're also going to reveal the results of last week's question of the week in just a few minutes. But, you know, there's so much happening this week, including the police shootings, one of the left's attempts during the election last year to make it look as though President Donald Trump was not supporting the military, finally shown to be an out-and-out lie that they used to trash the president, liberal media, of course, and the left changing the lexicon so that words don't mean what we think they mean, so that they're just changing words around as though they're in charge not only of our lives and of what we should think and say, but of what words mean. But first, we've got a lot to cover here on the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. Very important this morning, we have Sergeant Benevolence Association President Ed Mullins, who's going to be joining us in just a little bit to discuss the continued attacks and the violence that members of his union and the New York City Police Department are facing, especially something that happened yesterday that is simply outrageous. He's also going to weigh in on the very latest civil unrest and protest. As closing argument, expected to begin the Derek Chauvin trial in Minneapolis, and a number of attacks as well against NYPD officers, including that Molotov cocktail, which was thrown at a marked squad car yesterday morning. President Mullins is going to break that all down for us. But first, it's time for my opening statement. One of the most dangerous security emergencies in this country today is law enforcement under siege. The attack on police in our country is so egregious, is so pervasive, is so acceptable that even members of Congress are promoting that we simply get rid of cops. You know, you take Rashida Tlaib, she's a congresswoman, whether you like her or not, and she says that policing in our country is inherently and intentionally racist. That Dante Wright, who was shot and ended up dying, was met with aggression and violence by a police officer. And she says, I'm done with those who condone government-funded murder, incarceration, policing, and militarization. It can't be reformed. And, of course, her pal, squad mate AOC, from New York, no less, like Rashida, wants no more police. She says Dante Wright's killing, and again, the shooter was a female police officer who says she thought she was taking out her taser. And in fact, if you listen to the words before she ends up shooting him, she says, taser, 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 and then says, O-S-H-I-T, I shot him. And, you know, it's clear that she didn't intend to kill him. It was immediate. It's called a spontaneous declaration for those of you out there who are court fans. It is weighed very heavily in terms of a courtroom statement. But Rashida Tlaib says, That killing wasn't random, disconnected accident. It was the repeated outcome of an indefensible system that grants impunity for state violence, rewards it with endlessly growing budgets at the cost of community investment, and targets those who question the order. And, of course, we've got a former president in there who says, we need to reimagine policing. Now, I don't know what that means. Maybe you do, but I certainly don't know what it means to reimagine it. But and now it's so bad that in Minneapolis, when the police officer, when the city manager said that the police officer would be getting due process, he got fired. You know, due process, constitutional rights. Illegals get constitutional rights. As soon as they step foot in the United States, they are cloaked in the Constitution. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they're from. We don't know what their background is, but they're entitled to their American constitutional rights, and they know it. Trust me, they know it. But you get a police officer who is charged with a shooting, and they say, you know, this officer is entitled to due process, and the city manager who said it got fired for saying it. And right after that, the manager, after the city manager was fired, the police chief quit. The police chief said, I can't take this. This is not the country that I am fighting for. And right after that, we see other police officers, even before that, who are working in law enforcement, are quitting across the board. And police are quitting because while the police have our backs, no one, and I mean no one, has the police officers' backs. And I, for one, am tired of hearing police being called racist killers, government-sanctioned murderers. Look, I was in law enforcement for 3 decades. I was an assistant DA. I was the elected DA for 3 terms. I was also a county judge. So I have seen the cops and worked with them and have my own squad in the DA's office. And I've been to far too many cop funerals, police officers who gave their lives for people they didn't even know to buy into that craziness. I won't. Sure, there are some bad ones, and I prosecuted them. And, you know, some of them still are hold a grudge against me and whatever. So be it. That's the end of that. But the outrage against cops. But no one's talking about the insurrection that's going on in our streets night after night in Portland and Minneapolis. And now we've got leftist Democrats saying, you know, there has to be more confrontation. Maxine Waters, she actually came out and we've got it and says we've got to get more confrontational. And crime is up by huge numbers in the biggest cities in our country. Baltimore, Washington, L.A., Oakland, Philadelphia, Chicago, New York. I mean, with all of this hate that's directed toward the police, so much hate that last summer, you remember, they were throwing, milk cartons and pails of water at cops who just kept walking as though they were inferior human beings while these bums are laughing at them. I mean, we can't tolerate this anymore. But nobody seems to care about anything other than a police officer involved in a shooting. And I got to tell you something. When, you know, the marching, the looting, and the riots, they only happen when a police officer is involved. You can have a 2-year-old shot, like the one in New York City this past week, a 5-year-old shot in New York City. And it's collateral damage to people. Nobody's marching, nobody's protesting, nobody's outraged over all this. It is disgusting. And the defund the police movement, these bozos out in Oakland, California, talk about idiots. They defund the police, and then they can't figure out why crime goes up. And they actually call the police chief in and say, why is crime going up? I mean, are you stupid? S-T-O-O-P-I-D. I mean, really? So then they decide, oh, we better fund the police again. You know, we've got to recognize that cops are the thin blue line between a civilized society and anarchy. And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm sitting here, that what the left is looking for is total anarchy, where there are no police, where there isn't any safety and security. And then what they're going to do is they're going to take your guns. And what we're seeing Joe Biden do in less than 100 days is an outrage, where now they're talking about packing the Supreme Court because it's broken. Who said it's broken, Joe? Or who is it? Jerry Nadler. That's another beauty from New York. Jerry Nadler. So I just want to give you some facts. In 2020, 45 police officers were killed by gunfire in the line of duty. And so far this year, 15 have been killed. In the whole year of 2020, 17 unarmed black men were shot and killed by police. Not any death is terrible, but you've got to look at the circumstances. And if we've got 17 unarmed black men shot, that's out of 10 million arrests nationwide. So the chances of your being shot as an unarmed black man is, write this down, 0.00063. That's 0.00063. But it doesn't matter to those on the left. If the Democrat leftists get their way, there will be true anarchy on the streets of America. And then what? Who do we call then? And that's my opening statement here on the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. And up next on the Tunnel to Towers show, we're going to have Ed Mullins, and I'm going to be taking your calls, your chance to voice your thoughts. We open up the Friends of the Court hotline coming right up. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September 11, 2001, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help those heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Scales when all else fails. The Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Join the Tunnel to Towers Foundation on their mission to do good. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Welcome back, everyone, to the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. A special shout-out as well for those of you joining us via our live stream on the 77 WABC mobile app and on WABCRadio.com, streaming worldwide. Up here next on the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation morning show, I want to hear from you. Call 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. We're opening up the Friends of the Court hotline. Plus, wait until you hear the results of our question of the week. And what is the upcoming question of this week? We'll reveal when the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation morning returns. But first, to the calls. Let's go to Judy from Brooklyn.
Hi, Judge Jeanine. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I want to say a couple of things. Number one, Chris Cuomo has said, and I quote, white kids need to get killed. I think he needs to get fired immediately. Let alone arrested for calling for murder. Talk about words, meaning, you know, so irresponsible. And you know, Judge, is it interesting, the commune, hello?
Yes, I'm with you.
Are you there?
I'm here.
I got to call them. The communist fake news media only focus on white cop against black criminal, painting the criminals innocent. And I got to say, the police have to fight back and organize and simply say, it's best not to resist arrest. Then nothing will happen. These criminals, every single incident, you can tell that they all have a criminal record. If they would just not fight and stand there and be arrested, nothing would happen. But this is George Soros. He's the one behind all this, Judge.
Well, you know, it's an interesting issue that you comment on. The truth is that when a police officer says, stop, stop, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. And the problem that we've got are when you run from the police, that's when there's a problem. If you're getting out of a vehicle and then the police officer is about to cuff you and then you change your mind and go back into the vehicle, there are two things that cop is thinking. Number one, are they going to take off and escape, which they can't allow? Or number two, are they reaching for a gun? Either one of those is an impossible situation. The police officer is not going to let you do it. So I don't quite get, except when you look at what's being told to the public by the leftists, by the Democrats, by the mainstream media, that this is a race issue. Everything is supposed to be a race issue, and therefore you have the right to resist. And when Chris Cuomo says on CNN, no less, that that nothing's going to happen until white kids start getting killed. I mean, that is the most stunning, shocking, and disappointing statement I have heard on this issue. It is just beyond the pale. What is the point of that? Is the suggestion that maybe we've got to start, you know, killing white kids before policing is changed or reformed? It is frightening. But look, we're not worried about CNN. The bottom line is we're worried about America right now, and we're worried about what's going on. And you hit the nail on the button. Trust me. All right, let's go to Joel in the Bronx. Welcome to WABC, Joel.
Yes, very briefly. First of all, in the previous program, there was a caller, Gracie. She said that, you know, we're basically at the mercy of the left-wing media and its agenda. You know, actually, I have to respond to that insofar as that, you know, these days you don't have to be Warren Buffett. You don't have to be Sumner Redstone or Bob Iger or any of these other billionaires to tell the entire world what's on your mind with the Internet. And there are great conservative sites on the Internet where you can get great information, great opinion from conservative authors, and you should really take advantage of them. One of those sites is unz.com. Just wanted to point that out. Now, with regard to the legislative agenda of the radical Democrats in the Congress, they want to use the Supreme Court as a judicial fiat for their radical Marxist agenda for taking away your guns, taking away your free speech, taking away all of your rights under the Bill of Rights. Because you have to remember that this was tried before under FDR. He wanted to expand the court to 15 justices as opposed to 13, which is what Joe Manchin and the rest of the crew wants to do now. But again, the reason why we have checks and balances is so that one branch of government does not become more powerful than all the others. But when they want to expand the
question about that, and the point you make is an excellent one, and that is that with the packing of the court, allegedly because the court is broken, I have no idea what that means. Every president gets to appoint justices when there is a vacancy, and that's just what Donald Trump is, or what Donald Trump did. And now they actually are so brazen, they're saying to Justice Stephen Breyer, maybe you ought to retire. Okay, I think he's 82. Can you imagine if someone suggested that Ruth Bader Ginsburg retire? I mean, first of all, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's a leftist, you know, the left loves her. I mean, she didn't believe in packing the court. But what they're doing is they're creating another branch of government. And you're so right, because they want the ability to make sure that no one disagrees with them. And therefore, the party that's in power will have a court that will literally put its imprimatur on anything that they do. And it is a sad commentary on the Supreme Court and the objectivity of the Supreme Court. And, Markey is very much on the left. Jerry Nadler, I mean, do you believe anything he says? This guy said Antifa is a myth. No, it's a myth. So you can't really, you can't get caught up with some of this nonsense. And the truth is that it's kind of interesting that they came out with a bill when Biden said, well, we're going to have a commission. Well, you and I both know what the commission's going to do. And I think Biden pushed back a bit because he was a little, it would seem, not that I know, it would seem that he was miffed that already they're moving to do it and his commission is going to be rendered moot. So that's why Nancy won't let anything happen until the commission comes out and says, oh, we need one. And by the way, we've had nine justices for the last 157 years and it's working just fine. All they're trying to do is to redo the Constitution. Let's go to Larry from Brooklyn. Welcome to WABC, Larry.
Yeah, hi, Judge Jeanine. You know, I want to say I love Rudy Giuliani very much, but it doesn't help when people like him say comments like, if Daunte Wright had a warrant for a minor thing, then the police are in trouble. Because it doesn't matter what the warrant is. I believe the traditional criminal law is that if you're going to jump in the car and try to flee, if you're fleeing from a crime to stay out of jail, the car becomes a dangerous weapon that you can kill innocent third parties with. And that's why he deserved to be shot. And I don't think it was a tase. It wasn't even a tasing. It wasn't even appropriate for tasing.
Well, first of all, I don't know exactly what the context was of the conversation. The truth is that if you're making an arrest, irrespective of what it's for, if there was a warrant outstanding, irrespective of what it's for, then the suspect has to he has to comply. And as I said earlier, if he tries to then get back into the car, it's for one of two reasons. It's either to get a gun or it's to take off. There's no reason to reach back into the car. You know, I don't have a problem with a taser. And obviously, when it comes to Rudy Giuliani, again, I don't know what was said, but, you know, he is pretty knowledgeable on all this stuff. But a warrant is a warrant is a warrant. And that I agree with. All right. Let's go to is Ralph there from New Jersey?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm here, Judge. How are you? Thank you for taking my call. Now, you know, they are talking right now legislatively about police reform. Don't ever be deceived about this whole talk about police reform, because really this is all about nationalizing the police department all across this country. In your opinion, Judge, being that you have years of experience in law enforcement, does any good come out of nationalizing the police force all across the country?
Look, I don't know that nationalizing improves anything. I think the closer law enforcement is to a community, the better it is. The closer law enforcement is to the locals, they know the individuals involved. They know what the situations are. They have a better handle on what's going on. I think once you get into the federalization of law enforcement, look, one of the biggest secrets in law enforcement, and I think it was Maples who said this. I forget the first name. It's not Mark Maples, but, you know, it was years ago. He said one of the biggest secrets in law enforcement is how competitive they are and how much everybody hates everybody else. And one of those is the feds versus the locals. I mean, you know, they'll all get up there and they'll all say, oh, we love each other. We work together. No. It doesn't really work as well as they say it does. I mean, we all try, but in the end, I mean, there is usually a grab by the feds. So I don't see it for any one of a number of reasons, but I hope that answers your question. So, okay, let's go. We've got another call here. Welcome to WABC.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to say, Asian Americans have a good relationship with the police. So if there is to be any defunding, then the police should only be defunded to the extent that police protection is removed from those African or Hispanic neighborhoods who don't want it. But I think the police protection and operations in Asian American or European and American neighborhoods should not be altered in any way.
All right, let me respond to that. First of all, you're going to be shocked to know that the minority community wants the police. The brown and black communities by 81% want the police. They want the police in their neighborhoods, and they don't want the police defunded. Make no mistake, all of this nonsense, blabbermouth stuff going on about defunding the police is from these leftists who have a podium and a microphone and hate law enforcement. 81% of black Americans don't want less police presence despite the protest. Some want more cops. So don't let them kid you into thinking that this is a black community. You know, a lot, this Black Lives Matter, the organization, and we've talked about it before, versus the movement. And I have no problem with the movement. But the organization is a Marxist leftist organization that doesn't believe in policing. And the Democrat politicians want you to think that cops wake up every day to kill blacks. And you know what? If the squad didn't have special police protection like high wire fencing, metal detectors, maybe they'd understand what it's like for minorities who are overwhelmingly the victims of crime, or regular people like the McCloskeys in St. Louis, or even in L.A. The former DA's husband was arrested for taking his gun out at his own home when the protesters were marching toward him. So make no mistake. Every community is entitled to justice and entitled to the police. And just because some blabbermouth, loudmouths, you know, have the megaphone doesn't mean they speak for normal, regular people. But I want to tell you about an organization that's near and dear to me. It's Delta Rescue. Did you know that it's estimated that more than 2 million animals are killed in pounds a year, but there are no numbers on those that are abandoned in parks in the wilderness? The numbers are staggering. Delta Rescue's founder, Leo Grillo, is doing amazing work with his no-kill care life sanctuary. He's got up to 1,500 dogs, cats, and horses. They're not hypocrites. They don't rescue and then kill the animals. They care for them. We've heard testimonials from the staff at Delta Rescue saying how fortunate the animals are to live there. They're loved and cared for the rest of their lives, no matter their condition. They don't abort their right to life with these animals. They let them have their family and provide them with the best care and have an animal hospital right there 365 days a year. Delta Rescue relies solely on donations from people like you and me. No tax money involved. But Delta does have a tax savings estate plan. Grow your estate while letting your compassion for animals live on well into the future. From one animal lover to another, I know you'll be impressed and connected to this amazing organization. Go to deltarescue.org/Pirro today. That's deltarescue.org/Pirro.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is dominating the headlines right now.
It's the perfect time for a verdict, and you heard it. Here, this is the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Jeanine Pirro.
Are you ready to diversify your investments? Gold is predicted to hit $3,000 in the next year. Under the last Democratic president, gold went from $700 to $1,900 in 2 years. That's almost 300% growth. What better way to be protected from the imminent tax hikes under our president than with gold? Monetary Gold, a precious metal company focusing on helping savers set up self-directed IRAs. They only offer IRS-approved precious metals. Pick up the phone right now for a free gold guide. Call 1-888-204-2141. Monetary Gold will help you take advantage of a sound investment strategy and help diversify your portfolio. In business for over 20 years, Monetary Gold has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and is accredited with Consumer Affairs. Precious metals are the place where people turn when things are looking unsteady. Call Monetary Gold at 888-204-2141. Get your free gold guide today, 888-204-2141. Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. And for those with Alexa smart home speakers, you can tune in as well by simply saying, "Alexa, enable the 77 WABC skill." And I always want to hear from you. You know that. I love hearing from you. Make sure to call the Friends of the Court hotline at 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. The judge's verdict and our question of the week is coming up here in moments as well. But we now have a guest that we've been waiting for. My guest is Ed Mullins, who is the president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association in New York City, someone who knows what he speaks when it comes to the NYPD. Ed, are you there?
Yes, Judge. Yes, Judge. Judge? Judge?
Yes. How are you?
Yes. I'm good. How are you? I'm good. How are you?
I don't know. I don't know how you're doing. Tell me about this lunacy that happened yesterday with the Molotov cocktail. Apparently, a police officer was doused and another was hit in the face with a liquid chemical during a routine traffic stop. The man then drove off and karma crashed a little later. What we've got now is an attack on police for no reason. Were the police pulling this guy over, Sergeant Mullins?
It seems to be, based on the information we have, that this might have been staged. I know it's being investigated right now, but it might have been staged. This individual stopped for the light and then went through it, apparently after they realized police officers were watching. Then when he was pulled over, threw a liquid in one officer's face, followed by a Molotov cocktail a short time later.
And is he being charged?
Well, in the city of New York, that's a good question. I mean, we're trying to get him charged federally. You know, the district attorneys in New York City pretty much failed to charge. And, you know, we have that revolving door of bail, so they get out. But right now, he's still in, and he is being charged. The question is going to be, how long does he stay in, and what will the charges be?
You know, Cy Vance, of course, is. Are we talking about Vance in Manhattan, or where was this? Which borough?
This happened in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
In Dallas.
Yeah, same thing. Why the reluctance to charge by these prosecutors?
Well, the reluctance to charge, we've been watching this across the country. Prosecutors have now bowed down to not doing their jobs. The law is a matter of opinion to them, no more a matter of fact. It seems that everyone's forgetting that we're a nation of laws, and this is what the people in this country choose to live by. But the district attorneys are all singing kumbaya with all the other individuals that feel they need to balance the playing field. You know, we have a city council, we have a mayor. This whole topic of reform is just about change the nation to open season on crime of the individual people who live in this country. And the district attorneys are playing a very intricate part of helping the criminals commit the crimes.
You know, Eddie, I remember last summer I got a hold of that internal memo from the Manhattan DA's office, Cy Vance, saying, you know, of those protesters who were arrested, you know, take a good look at them, give them an ACD. And for our listeners, an ACD means basically an ultimate dismissal. But you know, find out if the police were abusive, and we'll file charges against the cops. And we've got a whole team dedicated to that police brutality. What has gone on in America? And I've been around a while, and you've been around a while, Eddie. Have you ever seen it like this, where cops are seen as almost the enemy, and it's coming from the top?
I've never experienced it. Going back to the 80s, when crime was at its all-time worst, it was nowhere near as bad as this. But what we're experiencing now is a lack of leadership from, you know, government officials right down to local police chiefs and commissioners who just refuse to set the standards of a nation of laws. And what we're now doing is empowering the criminals, and ultimately the real people to blame are the voters, because the voters keep electing these officials to come in and implement these, you know, ridiculous laws that they keep passing. The silent majority has been silent for way too long, and they are now about to become the victim of their inaction to vote out elected officials who don't do their job. And police officers will continue to fall under attack until that changes.
What are you seeing, Sergeant Mullins, NYPD president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association? What are you seeing in terms of movement out of the department and concomitantly, you know, into the department?
Well, people are leaving NYPD in massive numbers. And, you know, you can speak to the, well, I do. I speak to the chiefs all the way down to the lowest that are ranks, to the police officers out in the field handling the jobs. And they all went out. Just this past Friday, I had a conversation with a sergeant and eight cops, and every one of them wanted to, you know, get out. They're just biding their time to leave. Recruitment-wise, our standards are going to continue to diminish because no one wants to be a cop, and we're seeing this across the country also.
Well, you know, so it's not like these cops are leaving NYPD to go to a different PD. They're just getting out of the PD business, law enforement, period.
In some cases, do go to other PDs. They'll go to Florida, a state that, you know, has law and order. Some people talk about going out to Texas, but for the most part, they're just getting their time in or finding other jobs. They pretty much have had enough of what's occurring, and we're not getting the backing from NYPD leadership. Our city council is full bodies of government in the country, and then we have the most moronic mayor in the world who's running the city of New York. So what do you really expect to happen?
You know, it's interesting, Sergeant Mullins, when you talk about the electorate, when you see the movement out of New York City by basically the tax base, you have to say to yourself, is there any chance that anyone other than someone like Bozo de Blasio will be elected? I mean, you know, the people who believe in law and order, who believe that their tax dollars should go toward protecting their business as opposed to letting it just be looted, you know, those people are gone. And, you know, it's almost a, you know, give me whatever you can, city, and you know, and everybody else is out of there.
Well, what's happening now is exactly what you just described. People are leaving the city. The people who make up the tax base are leaving the city. And ultimately, the adverse impact of that is in the poorer communities, the communities of color, which is where we're seeing the violence. So this whole reform that everyone's talking about and this Black Lives Matter movement is actually contributing to the violence that's occurring in the streets of New York, the streets of Chicago, the streets of Los Angeles and San Francisco and Seattle. This is contributing to it because they are now tying the hands of law enforcement. And the facts do not add up with the shootings of police officers on minorities. The numbers are inaccurate, and no one wants to talk about it. No one wants to say it. They get labeled as racist as soon as that happens. And the truth of the matter comes down to it's not about racism. It's about compliance with the law. If people complied with the law, we would not be engaging in altercations that lead to resisting arrest. We comply with the speed limit. We find, you know, incidents, people are speeding, they get in accidents. Why? They didn't comply. It's the same contributing factors that add up into these shootings that everyone is talking about.
You know, Philadelphia, homicides up 29% for the year to date. Washington, D.C., homicides up 31%. Chicago, which is bad enough to begin with, homicides up 33%. Los Angeles, homicides 27%. The spike in index crimes is pretty much driven by a 30% increase in murders and 36. New York City crimes, I mean, a man in serious condition after he was stabbed on a Brooklyn subway. A woman's body's found in a train. It's just, I can't keep reading this. It's like the 70s and the 80s, like Fort Apache and all that lunacy. But worse, because the support is coming down from the top. And you would think, Sergeant Mullins, that the morale would simply be, I'm better off not arresting, because if I do what I'm required to do, I'm either going to get prosecuted or I'm going to lose my job.
Well, that's exactly the case. And with all those homicides we're talking about, let's look at the racial component of the victim. And no one wants to talk about that. And then add in that I am better off to not engage, to avoid getting sued, getting arrested, or losing my job and my pension. City Council passed several pieces of legislation. New York City just lost qualified immunity. So you want police officers to go out, get involved, make arrests, but if they don't do it to the state of perfection, you will suspend them, you will give them discipline, you will even indict them and fire them. So Who wants to take a job where that's the, atmosphere that you're working in every day? You know, last year, there were over 200,000 deaths that surgeons had happened to them on the table, and only 900 involving police officers. We don't talk anything about surgeons going to jail for homicide. That doesn't happen. But, you know, the narrative from the news media is always about the police.
One of the things that I talked about on my show, Justice, last night was the inequity and the fact that, you know, it doesn't matter if a black life is lost. It only matters at whose hands the life is lost. And the percentage is a minuscule 0.000, you know, 6, 1, something crazy. And, you know, there are cops dying left and right. And this guy, Eric Stillman, I must say, in the Adam Carolla case, the case in Chicago. I mean, you know, you're called to respond to shots fired. You fully expect an armed confrontation, chasing, no commands are responded to, stop, stop, hands up, you know, stop. And the cop sees a gun, and within a second, he shoots. I mean, there's no place for him to hide. There's no place for him to take cover. And he shoots. And he only shoots once, and they want to hang this guy, and meaning the police officer. I mean, I'm sorry. The kid had, the cop was right. The kid had gun residue on his hand. He had a Latin tattoo on his arm. I mean, you got to give police, who are especially involved in street crime, some credibility and some leeway for knowing what they know about the streets. So it's a shame what's going on.
100% correct on this. And going back into the late 70s, early 80s, NYPD lost a police officer named McConnon. And what happened was he was in a bank robbery. The individual put his hands up just like in the old Westerns. And he had a gun in his hand. All he did was flick his wrist forward and he shot McConnon right between the eyes. This case in Chicago, the fact of the matter is that the 13-year-old who was shot had a gun. That's a fact. And the officer shot him. We could all sit and look at the videotape and question how many millimeters of a second did this occur in. The fact is he had a gun, and he was not a nice kid. And he was shot when he had that gun in his hand in the presence of a police officer. The question should be, why did he have the gun? Where were his parents? Why is he involved in these type of antics? But no one wants to talk about that.
No one wants to talk about that, Sergeant Mullins. And I'll add another one to it. You can thank the left for this. Why aren't the schools open? Why are these kids joining gangs out on the street? They've got nothing else to do. But this kid in particular was a real problem. In any event, Sergeant Eddie Mullins, we kept you on for a long time. President Sergeant's Benevolent Association, we love you. Tell everyone in the PD we love them and support them, and that, you know, those few people who are out there yapping don't represent America. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Judge.
All right. More of your phone calls coming up. Right after the break, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes since 9/11, when so many people lost their lives while saving others. This year is the foundation's 20th year of honoring and supporting our nation's greatest heroes and their families, thanks to the support of people like you. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our country's most severely injured patriots to live more independent lives. Help Tunnel to Towers do good. Mark the 20th anniversary of 9/11 by donating $11 a month at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. Thank you for your support.
The Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show on 77 WABC. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
America's heroes need your help. Donate $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. All right, welcome back. Last week I presented this question of the week. We asked, will the number of illegal immigrants coming into the U.S. in April surpass the 170,000 of migrants who entered during the month of March? Now, I told you during the show last week, I said we won't reveal the results of the question until our live show on May 2nd, when at that time we should know from the Department of Homeland Security and U.S. Customs and Border Protection on the number of illegal migrants who enter our southern border. And get this, on Tuesday, Tuesday, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents from the Rio Grande sector disrupted a major alien smuggling case where more than 40 illegal immigrants were hidden in a suspected stash house in the back of a U-Haul vehicle and in the rear of a Ford F-150. So remember to take part in the question of the week. It will be... will the number of illegal immigrants coming in the U.S. in April surpass 170,000 migrants who entered during the month of March? Make sure you chime into the conversation and vote. All you have to do is log on to our website at wabcradio.com/tag/web-poll. That's wabcradio.com/tag/web-poll. Hundreds of you have already chimed in. We want to keep the conversation going. I'll be reading the results of the question of the week on May 2nd, live right here on 77 WABC. All right, I want to get back to the Friends of the Court hotline. I think we've got Russell from White Plains. Good morning, Russell.
Hi, good morning. If you look online at the Charles Campbell shooting and Twisted Justice at CNN.com, they'll see how you sent an innocent New York City cop to prison.
I really appreciate your calling. All right. Sorry we lost him. What about Timmy from the Hamptons?
Good morning, Janine. This thing about the media and Soros making people's resisting arrest is nonsense. This is an individual thing. These are hardened criminals. They're not going to follow any orders. And this is just going to go on. 100 years from now, we'll still have the same conversation. What they want to do is basically destroy Western civilization. People worried about you brought up the border. Well, they had their chance 25 years ago with Pat Buchanan and the legendary caller Steve from Manhattan from doing something where it would have been stopped cold. Instead, they called the guy names. So that's, you know, sometimes you got to look at yourself. You hear people say, oh, in high crime neighborhoods, there were more cops. But they vote for the most liberal, boneheaded mayor that ever lived, this guy de Blasio. And they don't go after Cousins and Hastings, who are the architects of the no bail law. You never hear that brought up on WABC. Are the hosts afraid to bring this up?
Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, you bring up an important point. And, you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter, his wife who passed, it was big into ROR. And I remember she said to me, I had spoken at one of their events, she said to me before she passed, and she passed at a young age, she said, you know, they're going to eliminate bail all over the country. And I remember saying to her, oh, that can't possibly happen. They'll never let that happen. And she said to me, you watch. I'll bet this was 7 years ago. And I think Chris Christie in New Jersey was one of the first to buy into it, which kind of stuns me. But, yeah, that's what's going on. Nobody says anything about it. It's like they've got this civilization redo that has been planned for decades. And the funding of DAs by George Soros, who are in situations where they don't believe in crime. They don't want to prosecute crime. The George Gascon in L.A. It's absolutely crazy. So this guy, Gascon, is taking cases. He's going back to cases and trying to shorten sentences as if he doesn't have enough crime to deal with already. It's a sad commentary. But I just want to wrap up what we talked about today. There is a lot going on. People are looking to change America. They're looking to take away the protection that we have with police and the law and order, which is the one thing that separates a civilized from a barbaric society. We are going to end up with a society that is like Portland every night or Kenosha or some of these crazy places that end up, the places aren't crazy, but places where crazy people show up and try to tear apart all the norms that are part of America. How can we stop it? Well, we had a president who was fighting. And I remember saying a couple of last night, actually, on my show, Justice on Fox News, I remember saying, you know, no one's got the police's back anymore. They've got our back, but we don't have their back. I'll tell you one person who had law enforcement's back. That one person was President Donald Trump. President Donald Trump had law enforcement's back. He had the military's back, and they turned it against him. And we just found out yesterday or this week that that whole story about how the Russians were paying Afghans to bounties to kill American soldiers, and Joe Biden gets out and trashes Trump and says he's never doing anything, that story wasn't true. They knew it wasn't true. They didn't do anything. The reason they trashed Donald Trump was simply to make it look like he wasn't supporting the military. You know what? You've got to rely on your instinct and on your gut. What's going on in this country is crazy. Anyway, I can't believe we're out of time already. I want you to make sure to join us right back here next Sunday at 11 a.m. sharp for the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. We're going to break up this upcoming week's political and national headlines as we bring you justice and order. And I want to thank Ed Mullins from the New York City Sergeants PBA. We love him. He's been on the streets for years, and he knows of what he speaks. Up next, it's Sid Sports Sundays. Justin Ellick, one of my favorites, and Mike Dedino are in for Sid to give you all the latest in the world of sports with big guests and the top analysis around. Even I'm going to listen. Happy Sunday, everyone. Take care.